This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Is the Pentagon boss on the way out? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, October 15. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says Defense Secretary James Mattis is a sort of Democrat and may be deciding whether to step down. His remarks came during a wide-ranging interview on 60 Minutes.
A one-time retail giant is filing for bankruptcy. Sears has reached an agreement with creditors.
Dozens of people remain missing in the aftermath of Hurricane Michael. Meanwhile, debris cleanup has begun in a hard-hit Florida beach town.
And a big reason we may have lousy physical health? Because we're stressed about money.
The number one cause of stress in America is money, and that's been true since about 2007. So we have all these money troubles, and it's the number one cause of stress. And this new survey coming out shows that those who have poor financial health also tend to have poor physical health.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the toll that financial worries can take on your body. She's here in about 20 minutes. Sears, a company that dominated American retailing for a big part of the last century, has filed for bankruptcy protection. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Sears said it would close 142 troubled stores near the end of the year, with liquidation sales expected to begin shortly. The closings are in addition to 46 stores that are expected to close by next month. Currently, the company operates roughly 700 Sears and Kmart stores. It employs about 70,000 people. Sears reached a deal with its lenders that would allow the 125-year-old company to keep hundreds of its stores open for now. The bankruptcy filing comes before Sears was required to repay $134 million in loans later today. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. When a company seeks bankruptcy protection, it must receive a judge's approval to cut any checks or make most decisions about things like paying its employees, utility bills, and other standard operations procedures. President Trump said that Defense Secretary Jim Mattis could be considering whether to step down from his post and that he sees the Pentagon chief as a, quote, sort of a Democrat. His comments came during a wide-ranging interview last night on 60 Minutes.
It could be that he is. I think he's sort of a Democrat, if you want to know the truth. But General Mattis is a good guy. We get along very well. He may leave. I mean, at some point, everybody leaves. Everybody. People leave. That's Washington.
Mr. Mattis, a retired Marine Corps general, hasn't publicly identified with either major political party. Also, the president is defending a speech he delivered earlier this month in Mississippi in which he mocked the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford, who accused now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct more than three decades ago.
Do you think you treated her with great respect?
I think so, yeah, I did.
But you seem to be saying that she lied.
You know what? I'm not going to get into it because we won. It doesn't matter.
Well,
we won.
Reuters says the interview, in which Mr. Trump proved eager as ever for verbal jousting on a series of issues, showed he had no intention of abandoning his freewheeling, in-your-face persona as president. Crews with heavy equipment are scooping up debris in the Florida panhandle town of Mexico Beach. The coastal community of about 1,000 people took a direct hit from Hurricane Michael last Wednesday as the big storm came ashore with 155 mile per hour winds. Several homes in Cape San Blas were pushed off their foundations by the strong storm surge. As of yesterday, more than 190,000 homes and businesses in Florida were without power, along with about 120,000 in Georgia. Federal Emergency Management Agency Chief Brock Long is calling the damage left by Hurricane Michael some of the worst he's ever seen.
Bottom line is a lot of people in Florida lost their livelihoods. We can't replace lives, but we can rebuild.
Joseph Zalraban is overseeing the search and recovery missions in Mexico Beach. He said 230 people rode out the storm. Dozens are still unaccounted for. Michael is blamed for 19 deaths, by the way. President Trump plans to visit Florida and Georgia today to see the damage. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for being with us. When new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh took the bench last week, it marked the culmination of the Republican Party's 50-year drive to cement a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Wall Street Journal Supreme Court correspondent Jess Braven says over time, Justice Kavanaugh is expected to provide a consistent vote to implement the conservative movement's legal agenda in a range of areas where the Supreme Court has failed to produce ideologically consistent results. Jess, explain.
He is someone who is a very clearly vetted conservative about many, many legal issues up and down the scale, and that he would be succeeding someone who was a somewhat more idiosyncratic, perhaps more libertarian in some areas, Anthony Kennedy, really providing a solid majority of tested, proven, hardcore, for the most part, conservatives, something that Republican presidents have sought to impose on the court for almost half a century without the kind of complete success that they had expected.
So who or what could be affected by this new Supreme Court makeup, Jess?
So what will change? Well, I think we will see a lot more solicitude for religious rights or religious exceptions to general laws, sort of conscience-based exceptions, and that will probably play out in the gay rights area, where you'll see, you know, arguments that different merchants or businesses don't have to accommodate same-sex marriages or couples. I think we may see more recognition of religious groups required of public universities and colleges. They may have to some of their policies that require equal treatment by student groups may change. So those are some things on the margins. I think we'll see as well a more critical view of affirmative action programs that Kennedy in the end upheld affirmative action programs in college admissions. There are test cases on the way in that area. I think that we'll see. In the realm of abortion regulation, I think the question is not will additional state or federal restrictions on abortion be upheld, but rather will the court continue to recognize abortion as a right at all. So I think that this court now, the five-member majority, will be much, much more sympathetic to state laws that restrict abortion or make it more difficult to get, and this court will view the state interest in protecting potential life as much more important than it had before, thereby justifying those kind of laws. And ultimately, it may have to ask, it may consider whether Roe v. Wade back in 1973, which did establish women's right to have an abortion, whether that was an error and whether to overrule it.
I'm speaking with Jess Braven, Supreme Court correspondent at the Wall Street Journal. He's got a fascinating piece about how new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh has nailed down this 5-4 majority that Republicans have sought since the 1960s. As long as we're talking about a 5-4 majority here, what are the whispers about President Trump perhaps getting another pick, maybe with something involving Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, she's 85 years old. She has not made a secret of that fact. But she's also said she intends to serve as long as she's able. Now, mentally, I was in the courtroom, and she is as vigorous on the bench as ever. So there's no sense that she is mentally not capable of this kind of job. But no one lives forever. I guess we all know that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Justice John Paul Stevens, who retired in 2010 at the age of 90, we saw him on C-SPAN the other day at a event in Florida where he was taking questions. He commented on Justice Kavanaugh, among other things. And he is, at 98, he's still a lot smarter than me and pretty much anyone I know. So I think that for many years he felt maybe he retired a little too early.
Thanks, Jess. Jess Braven, Wall Street Journal Supreme Court correspondent. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
More than dozens of people remain missing in coastal areas of Northwest Florida devastated by hurricanes. Hurricane Michael. Recovery teams with dogs and heavy equipment are due to scour destroyed buildings in Mexico Beach and Panama City in the search for more victims. At least 18 deaths are confirmed so far across four states, and the death toll is expected to rise. FEMA Chief Brock Long toured the damage along the panhandle.
No doubt about it. Florida took a tremendous hit. This is some of the worst damage I've seen in my career.
Today, President Trump plans to visit Florida and Georgia to see the recovery effort for himself. President Trump's backing off his claim that climate change is a hoax, but suggests that the climate will change back again. He was interviewed on CBS's 60 Minutes.
I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made. I will say this. I don't want to give trillions and trillions of dollars. I don't want to lose millions and millions of jobs. I don't want to be put at a disadvantage.
The world's leading scientists agree that climate change is human-induced. Saudi Arabia is threatening to retaliate for any sanctions opposed against it after President Trump said the oil-rich kingdom deserves severe punishment if it's responsible for the disappearance and suspected murder of Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi. The warning from the world's top oil exporter came after a turbulent day on the Saudi stock exchange, which plunged as much as 7% at one point yesterday. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes may have had the play of the game. Al Michaels called the 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill.
From the 25-yard line, play action. Mahomes steps up, going deep. That field wide open again is Hill. Inside the 30. Wow. Hill down the sideline. Hill all the way.
But the Chiefs should have known that wasn't enough. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady quickly brought his team down the field, and New England got a 28-yard field goal as time expired to beat the Chiefs 43-40 last night. The Chiefs' loss leaves the Los Angeles Rams as the NFL's only unbeaten team.
Wow. You know what would be helpful? If they started these games about 3 hours earlier so I could watch them.
Oh, I know.
I went to bed, and the Patriots were thumping the Chiefs, and I thought, oh, this is over. And then if... winds up with a last-minute, of course, exciting finish.
Well, we never get to stay up there.
That's true. Chiefs better button up that defense, by the way. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Americans are drowning in financial troubles. Credit card debt hit a record high this year at more than $1 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve. Student loan debt has jumped 150% over the span of just a decade. And not only are we drowning in debt, we're not saving. About 1 in 4 Americans don't even have a single dollar saved for an emergency. It's no wonder our physical health is suffering. Here's Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, set this up.
The number one cause of stress in America is money, and that's been true since about 2007. So we have all these money troubles, and it's the number one cause of stress. And this new survey coming out shows that those who have poor financial health also tend to have poor physical health. So they're less likely to exercise. They're more likely to skip, doctor's visits, often due to the cost. So this money stress is just snowballing into all this other these troubles in your life.
You know what the underlying theme here is? The availability of loans/credit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, when people abuse it, right? So, like, they use their credit card, they max it out, then they're stressed, and they can't pay the copay at the doctor. Like, all this, goes into this big cycle. I mean, you're right. Like, it's all just connected, and it's not in necessarily a good way.
Yeah, I feel like, if we didn't have, but we wouldn't have giant mortgages if banks didn't make the money available. Like way, way, way back in the day, this wasn't how it worked. You saved money and you then just plunked it down to buy a home. Or maybe down payments these days should be between 50% and 75%.
And instead,
you know what I mean?
Some people can get it at 3.5% down payment. Most people have 10, some people 20, but you're right. And then, they have big mortgages and, you're getting credit card offers all the time, spammed at you. And people take advantage because it's relatively easy to get. And then all of a sudden they're in this snowball thing where, they're in money troubles and it's impacting their health. And that also is expensive. So there goes the cycle again.
Right. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Her piece is called One Big Reason Americans Are So Stressed and Unhealthy, and it's because of money. Explain some of these health issues, by the way, that worrying about this can bring up.
Yeah, this is really what scared me about this. Okay, so a bunch of health issues related to financial stress and money troubles. Depression and anxiety, so people with high financial stress, They have far more symptoms of depression and anxiety than those who don't. Also, migraines, again, I mean, some people are just sitting there worrying about their money so much that apparently they're getting migraines. I mean, they and some of these are people who are getting really, really, really strong migraines. They tend to happen in times of financial stress. So, again, I mean, it can happen with any kind of stress, of course, but financial stress is a really big part of our lives now, and so that's driving these. I mean, ulcers and digestive issues, this is a pretty crazy stat here. People who are under high financial stress are way more likely to complain about ulcers and digestive problems. 27% of them said they had these issues versus just 8% of people who had low financial stress. So you can see a big thing. So, yeah, you're these horrible headaches, ulcers, digestive issues. I mean, you imagine you're calling out of work, too, because you're so uncomfortable. And then the scariest one maybe of all is high blood pressure and heart attack. A big study of 8,400 adults looking at high levels of debt led to high blood pressure in people.
Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, October 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump calls Defense Secretary Jim Mattis a sort of Democrat. Dozens still missing as Florida panhandle towns begin cleanup from Hurricane Michael. Sears filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this morning. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle expecting their first child in the spring. Seventh, though, in line to the throne. And the diabetic kid selling pumpkins to raise money for a service dog. Good story out of Michigan. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. Small towns in central Maine that lost mills are seeking smaller economic wins, wary of being too reliant on single industries. Mills, once among the largest employers in Maine, have mostly fallen off the radar as a guaranteed job out of high school. Small economic wins in these smaller towns should make their economies more sustainable, but it can be a long path. Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp made a couple of visits to the region. John, what'd you see?
It can be hard for any town or city when a big employer shuts down, but the shockwaves are particularly strong when you're talking about places that in some cases were purpose-built as towns to serve this one industry.
Wow, yeah.
And the prime example is Millinocket, Maine, which is a fairly remote town up in central Maine, deep in the woods. And it was a place that was really tethered very strongly to a huge mill there for a century. And there was a time when people coming out of high school would say they pretty much had guaranteed jobs there. And it was a way of life, and it was really the heartbeat of the town for generations. And it was also really the only game in town. I mean, it paid most of the town's taxes. It provided most of the jobs. And that mill shut down a decade ago, and that's a town that was hurt very badly by that. The population shrank, and the town had to lay off a lot of employees and was close to bankruptcy. And they're trying to pull out of that dive right now and get some other things going. But that was certainly a really major shock.
Mm. All right. So who's doing what now? Because there was at least one guy I think captured maybe what others are thinking. That's, you know, I'd rather have, 10 employers hiring 50 people than one employer hiring 500.
Well, that's a very common theme all around Maine in all of these towns, because I think they all realize that there's danger in being a one-horse town. It's great when you have that one big mill employing hundreds or even more than 1,000 workers and, you know, paying most town taxes, but obviously it's dangerous when you have all your eggs in one basket and that basket is taken away. So what the towns are trying to do is rebuild brick by brick, really, try and have small economic wins. And they all realize that that's a long road. It's not easy to do, but the hope is that, you know, as you get further down that road, that you're going to build an economy that's more stable and less vulnerable to these kinds of shocks.
Yeah. We're speaking with John Camp, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Boston. He took a trip up to central Maine and wrote a piece entitled Maine's Mill Towns Search for New Life. What kind of companies might they be looking for, say, to, populate stores on Main Street, or how they might maybe refurbish some of these empty mills?
Well, that's a good question. And certainly the mill sites themselves are large industrial properties that all of the towns see as holding some potential. The extent to which they can really reutilize those properties will vary town by town. In some cases, there's quite a lot of environmental cleanup that has to be done, or the mills need to be, you know, dismantled and with parts salvaged and things like that. In one example, Bucksport, that's a town that's actually doing all right. That town has kind of a geographic advantage in that it's not quite as remote. It's located near the coast. It's also near Bangor, which is a pretty big commercial center in that part of Maine. Bucksport actually has a bit of activity around the seafood industry, and they have a startup that, pending regulatory approval, wants to open a land-based salmon farm at the mill site. So that's one example of a town with some irons in the fire and some things going on. Up in Millinocket, which is way upriver, there is a nonprofit that bought the mill site and is trying to turn it into an industrial park or a commercial park of sorts. And, you know, they'll take all comers. I think they're thinking of certainly going after businesses that are involved in the forestry industry. And that's something you hear throughout these towns, is that, you know, for anyone who drives around Maine, you'll see right away the trees are still there. So there's hope in attracting businesses and things like cross-laminated timber and other kinds of forestry industries. In Millinocket, they say they have a commitment from a data processing firm that will likely move to the mill site. So they'll take anything. I think they want some diversity, but forestry, it could be one big part of it if they can get that going.
Thanks, John. John Camp, Wall Street Journal reporter based in Boston. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, Doritos, as it turns out, are more than just a junk food for teens with the munchies. They help deputies in San Bernardino, California, lure a very large pig the size of a mini horse back home. The sheriff's department wrote online yesterday that deputies learned of the runaway pig, and due to previous calls, they knew where the pig lived. They said the responding deputies, quote, lured him back home with Doritos one of our deputies had in her lunch bag, and the hungry pig followed their trail. The Instagram post was accompanied by a video showing just that. And they weren't kidding about the size of this pig.
Really?
If the pig had stood up, you know, on its hind legs, would have dwarfed this female deputy that was luring him down the street with Doritos.
Wow.
For sure. This was a monster.
That would be something to see, because I don't think I've ever seen a pig stand up on its hind legs.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess so. And, you know, and again, and apparently this pig, I guess they knew where it lived because it had escaped before. Is that something, you know, we've kind of gone through this before with these escaped animals, right? Why do they continue to sort of allow this to happen?
Right. I think I'm mildly offended by the age discrimination in your opening sentence, by the way, that Doritos are more than just a junk food for teens with munchies.
Okay, sure.
Yeah,
yes.
They're an important part of my diet,
yeah.
Mike. And
yes,
I don't I don't like that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree as well. I was sort of just following the lead of this, of the story that I kind of got this, you know, where I found this. But yes, I would agree. There is no age discrimination when it comes to Doritos.
Yeah, ranch. You give me some ranch Doritos.
Yeah,
and
cool ranch, like, definitely.
Cool ranch, you know, paired with wine or beer. Good for the afternoon. By the way, which shows you and I have similar taste buds to a pig.
Yeah.
Which is perhaps not uncommon for a man. But
no, or people in radio, right. for that matter.
So yeah, there's that.
And you know, Gordon, there are a few of us who don't love pizza, and many of us wish we could eat it every day. Enter a New Jersey man who says he only has eaten pizza for dinner every day since he was 4 years old. Mike Roman, who is now 41, told the New Theory podcast that it was his mother that gave in to his picky eating, allowing him to only eat pizza for dinner. And for about 10 of those years, he even ate pizza every day for lunch, though he now mixes it up with a peanut butter sandwich. Roman, who works as a teacher, only eats plain pizza with no toppings. He also typically goes out for pizza instead of cooking it at home. Roman, who is now married, said that when he used to go out on dates, he only went out to places with pizza. Did he have pizza on his wedding day, you ask? Of course. He also had it at the cocktail hour and for lunch that day.
Goodness.
How about on his honeymoon? Sure, Aruba has pizza places. So your next question might be, how healthy can a person who eats pizza every day be?
Yes.
Roman says he has no health problems to speak of, and he manages to maintain a normal weight despite his greasy daily meal, adding that pizza has three of the four basic food groups.
Okay.
The other one being Doritos, as we just discussed before. But yeah, I mean, he's a normal looking guy as far as his weight goes and stuff. And that's probably because he's a super picky eater, so he's not snacking all the time like you and I would be
perhaps.
On everything that's around. He's just waiting for his one, you know, pizza meal.
Man, you know what I've started using on pizza for added flavor? Lemon salt.
Lemon
Ooh,
salt.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of lemon
some
salt.
Crushed red pepper.
Oh boy,
it's a nice combo.
All right, we're definitely eating something after this is over.
By the way, just quick math.
Yeah.
If it's 37 years in a row,
right?
That he's been having pizza.
Here we go.
Times 365 days a year.
Yeah.
That's more than 13,500 days in a row of having pizza.
I think I could do that.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Colds and flu are often lumped together, but there are important distinctions. CBS News has a look at some myths about them. Number one, the flu is just a bad cold. While some people may use the words cold and flu interchangeably, they are in fact very different. Flu is a much more serious illness than the common cold. A big difference is how they begin. Colds tend to start gradually, while flu will often make you feel like you got hit by a bus. Myth number two, you can get the flu from the flu shot. This is not possible. Experts say since the flu vaccine is not a live virus, you cannot become infected from the vaccine itself. Other myths, loading up on vitamins if you feel an illness coming on can help ward off colds and flu. It's not true. However, there is some research to support taking oral zinc tablets to help shorten the length of a cold. Another myth, going out in the cold weather without a coat will give you the flu. That's a myth. Sorry, Mom. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump will travel to Florida's storm-ravaged panhandle today as the search continues for dozens of people who remain missing following Hurricane Michael. Florida Governor Rick Scott.
A little over 1,800 people still doing search and rescue, so there's still a lot of work to do.
At least 18 people in four states have died because of the storm. President Trump seemed to show no remorse when asked about Christine Blasey Ford during an interview with 60 Minutes that aired last night. He had mocked Ford during a rally earlier this month following her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Do you think you treated her with great respect?
I think so, yeah, I did.
But you seem to be saying that she lied.
You know what? I'm not going to get into it because we won. It doesn't matter.
Well,
we won.
Trump said he thought Ford was treated with respect, including by himself. As expected, Sears has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, buckling under its massive debt load and staggering losses. Sears once dominated the American retail landscape, but the big question now is whether the shrunken version of itself can be viable, or will it be forced to go out of business, closing the final chapter for an iconic name that originated more than a century ago. Sears will also close another 142 stores near the end of the year. Kensington Palace announced today that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are expecting a baby this spring. The news comes as the Duke and Duchess just arrived in Sydney for their first official tour since getting married 5 months ago. In addition to Australia, they will visit Fiji, Tonga, and New Zealand. It's highly unlikely the new royal baby will ever become monarch, since the baby will be seventh in line to the throne. The winner at the drive-thru, Burger King. A new study by QSR Magazine shows Burger King is the fastest drive-thru chain in the country. According to the study, between the time you order your food to the moment you get your food at the window, it takes only 3 minutes and 13 seconds. Dunkin' Donuts is next, followed by KFC, Wendy's, and Taco Bell. The two top-selling chains are McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, but they are the two slowest drive-thrus.
Is that right? By the way, the Dunkin' Donuts is number two. The reason it's number two is because we have the slowest Dunkin' Donuts in my town.
Really?
Yeah, it's completely has just
10 minutes?
Dragged it down.
Okay.
Single-handedly.
Yeah. Dunkin'.
Yeah,
no,
just a donut, please. And then there's just a 6-minute wait. Can you pull over to the side and we'll bring it to you?
You got to go in the store. Drive-thrus are dumb.
Yay. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A Michigan boy with diabetes is selling pumpkins on the side of the road to raise money for a diabetic alert dog to accompany him on the school bus. ABC 13 Television in Grand Rapids says 6-year-old Ian Unger, a kindergarten student, has type 1 diabetes and requires constant supervision to monitor his blood sugar levels and insulin pump. He lives in Howard City. He was told by the district nurse that he could not ride the bus to school without an aide, but his mother said the school would not provide one. Ian and his mother started growing pumpkins at their home in Sand Lake to raise money for an alert dog that would ride with him to and from school. Mom posted about Ian's pumpkins on Facebook, and the post was shared more than 500 times. They sold almost 150 pumpkins on Friday. She said the family's in talks with the school district to resolve the situation. The family has raised a few hundred dollars and is fundraising on Facebook. The mom says the diabetic alert dog will cost around $25,000. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.